Jean, you know, I'm sure there are as kind people on the planet than Pastor Jean. I just haven't met them yet. I just appreciate your kindness and his hospitality, how many just love Pastor Jean and this great church staff. Amen. Just love them so much. And a joy to be with you guys here in this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning here at Trinity. Believe in the Lord to move in a great way. And aren't you glad God's moving all over the world? He's moving in great ways. We leave tomorrow, and we're believing God to set people free, to heal the sick, and for God to raise up his church in those unreached areas. And so we're grateful that you're here this morning. Hope you're having a great summer. For time's sake, it's kind of fun to begin bantering back and forth. But I'm going to jump right in. Would that be all right? Now, we're going to go right to God's word this morning, but I want to set this up. We're living in a crazy hour. We prayed about what happened yesterday, and we should. Our nation, all the problems, and we see what's happening in our world. We see the nations that are struggling and different things in society, and there's so much happening in our lives, busy summer, all these things. But I want to hit the pause button for a moment this morning, if I may. And I'm going to dig a very narrow path with my message. For a few moments this morning, I want to speak about something that will affect everybody breathing in this room. So, Greg, you know what? I'm a guest, a visitor. We're honored by your presence, and I want you to be relaxed and at home, whatever. Great church. You're welcome. But I make you the promise that what I'm about to talk about will directly affect every, no matter what you believe. And I pray that you're all followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that will greatly impact what you fall on this. But I want to speak for a couple of moments on what is going to happen when Jesus returns. I know our lives, our future, we're planners, and we looked on the road, all families and activities. But I want to share for a couple of moments on the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ and things that are going to happen when Jesus Christ comes back. How many are looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can someone say a big amen? Now, I want to read a familiar passage. It's in 1 Thessalonians. It's in chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. And we're going to read these verses, and I'm only going to touch on certain points about what will happen when Christ comes. For time's sake, we cannot go too deep in each one. But my prayer is that when you walk out, there's a fresh revelation that Jesus is going to return. Whether we're ready or not, Jesus is coming back for the church. And 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says this, basic Bible. It's brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, verse 16 says, will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and that in Christ shall rise first. After that, we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Verse 18 says, therefore encourage one another with these words. The Bible talks about it. Paul talks about it as the blessed hope. Peter talks about the coming of Jesus as the purifying hope. It's amazing. You look at Scripture, my friend, in the Old Testament, over 1,000 verses that give reference to the second coming of Jesus. And the New Testament, one out of every 30 verses in the New Testament will speak of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're given large chunks of Scripture. Daniel, of course, Revelation, Matthew 24, 25, Luke 17, Thessalonians. The Bible doesn't whisper the coming of Jesus. The Bible is shouting that Jesus is coming back for those who've been washed in the blood he shed upon that cross. Now, this great event that's about to happen, when I speak about the coming of the Lord Jesus, or actually what will happen when Jesus comes, we're going to go right through this. And we're going to look at it through the words of the word trauma. I know we think of trauma as negative, and often it is. But I want to look at what will happen when Jesus comes. And the first thing I want to talk about, when Jesus comes back at the rapture, there's going to be the trauma of translation. The Bible never uses the word rapture. But we read a moment ago in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Paul says how believers are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And that phrase, caught up, is where we get the word rapture. Now listen carefully. When I share about the trauma of translation, I'm talking about this. Luke 17:34 says this. I tell you, on that night, two people be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other is left. That sobering verse speaks about the trauma of translation. When Jesus comes back at the rapture, when I speak and say second coming, really two phases. The first is the rapture when Christ comes for us. The second is the second coming. I'll get to in a moment where we come with him riding on those horses in the sky. But when I speak about the trauma of translation, it's simply this. Not everybody's going to go at the moment of the rapture. That's very sobering to me. I know we're living in a world right now where I look and I read the church growth books and I get maybe some, but it's keep it short and snappy. Don't get too heavy. Don't upset anybody. Don't really, you know, don't make anybody unhappy. I'm not looking to upset anybody in this room. But I want you to know this. When Jesus returns at the moment of the rapture, there will be those who miss the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the moment of the rapture, Bible says some are going to go and some are going to be left behind. And to me, I can't think of anything more traumatic. The trauma of a young couple that walk into a nursery, the crib is there, the baby gone. A book bag by a locker, because I love young people. I hope the rapture happens on a school day. Can somebody say amen right now? But that moment in time, in the twinkling of a moment, Christians are going to disappear off the face of the earth. With all these things happening, we mustn't forget that Jesus is coming back for his people. But imagine that sobering moment. It's going to happen, man. Folks will walk down the Inner Harbor, Baltimore, and they'll be cursing, saying, what has happened? I've missed the coming of Jesus Christ. It'll be on every major newscast. ESPN, CNN, my friend, Fox, imagine. Every station, every radio, all over the internet, reports are going to come in that Christians have disappeared off the face of the earth. Imagine the trauma of being left behind. And you say, Greg, you know what, be careful. Don't kind of overdo this and don't, with one fear. Look at, how do you overplay this? I'm not a good enough communicator. I don't know. How do you overplay this? The trauma of missing the rapture. Do we have any idea how many folks are in our churches that are living in secret sin, who are not ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus? I am begging. I have not come to give a little bit of a speech. I've come to beg with people to make sure you're ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you this. There'll be people that pound the kitchen table and say, dear God, what have I done? I've missed this. There'll be young people, I promise you, that will pull their hair out. They'll grind their teeth and say, what have I done? I've missed the coming of Jesus Christ. And so when I say trauma of translation, the moment's coming. It's going to happen so soon. Everything's in place. My friend, Jesus is about to. I'm not a believer. We're living in the last days as much as we're living in the last moments before Jesus comes back for the church. But I'm telling you this, there'll be great trauma in the lives of people who miss the rapture of the church. It makes for good TV preaching. We're all going to go. Look, it's all good. For Pete's sakes, relax. We're all going to end up in the same place. That is a lie from the devil himself. We must be sure our sins have been forgiven, that it is well with our soul, and then we can live with assurance. Heaven will be my eternal home. But the trauma of translation will be the fact there's going to be people that literally are left behind and the sense of what in the world has happened. But then there's good trauma. Well, Greg, what do you mean by good trauma? I'm a Red Sox fan. I beg your forgiveness. I'm a Red Sox fan. What does that mean? It means I'm an idiot. That's what that means. But we are who we are. All respect Oriole people. Brooks Robinson, Mark Belanger, Jim Palmer, Mike Cuellar, Dave McNally. You got to be a hardcore Oriole guy to know those boys. Paul Blair. Remember the day, somebody? But of course, Cal Ripken. I mean, come on. But you know what I remember? Well, we won the World Series a few years back, and after coming back down 3 against the Yankees and came back and beat them, I remember, you talk about good trauma. I'm thinking, I can't believe we finally did it. When I say good trauma, can you imagine that moment? Come on, believer. What moments you're waking up for another day at the office, and now you're in a cloud of glory with Shadrach and Meshach, and away we go. Imagine that moment. One moment you're getting ready for school or work. The next moment you're in a cloud of glory with Jesus Christ waiting for us. My wife and I have 3 children that are in heaven. Lost in pregnancies. I will see my kids. Are you talking about good trauma? No more goodbyes. Someone say, well, Greg, you're not going to know your kids. Oh, yes, I am. Some say, I'm looking for 3 kids that are big heads, that talk fast, they spit. They belong to me. Can you imagine that moment that you're reunited with a loved one? Last time you saw them, their body riddled with cancer. But now we meet them in the clouds, the dead in Christ. So right there first, we still left. We're caught up. We're not going up slow motion. We're not going to go up slow motion going like this to the world. We're not. But 1 second you're mowing your lawn. 1 second making a cup of coffee. The next second you are with the Lord forever and forever and forever. That's good trauma. Jesus Christ said, surely I will come again and receive it to myself. That where I am, there you are also. Please hear this. The trauma of translation, there'll be masses of people who played with their soul. I'm not just talking those outside the church. I'm talking, and that is, of course, inclusive. But let's not kid ourselves. And I'm not looking to make any enemy. I love everybody in this house. But friend, if you are not right with God, I am begging you as a friend and a brother, don't wait till I'm done with a message. If you're in sin, you want to repent right now and say, Jesus, I'm not going to play with this one more second. I do not want to miss the rapture of the church. So number one, what happens when Jesus comes? The trauma of translation. He comes for the believer. One moment and a second, we're gone with the Lord forever and ever and ever. How many cannot wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus? Somebody shout yes if that's you right now. Come on. The second thing this morning, trauma, not just a translation. This is going to be a progression here. But the second will be the trauma of testing. Now, for anybody in the room that misses the rapture, I'll get back to you in a moment. It's unnecessary. I pray that we're all ready. I pray that we all go. But we're not talking about being Catholic or Protestant or gluten-free. I'm not talking about those things. If you are covered by the blood of Jesus, you're going to go. Aren't you glad you go because of who you are in Christ? We'll get back to those that miss the rapture. But for those that go up at the rapture, the next area of trauma, what happens when Christ comes is the trauma of testing, otherwise known as the Bema seat, otherwise known as the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what's due him for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. Romans 14:12 says, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. First Corinthians 3, verse 12 says this, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work can be shown for what it is. Because the day will bring it to light, it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he'll receive his reward. if it's burned up, he'll suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. And one more verse, Ecclesiastes 4:12 says this. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or it is evil. Now listen careful. If you're a follower of Jesus, you grow up at the rapture. The next step, my friend, is the judgment seat of Christ. I got some great news. This shall not be a judgment that determines your eternal situation. If you go up at the rapture, somebody say, thank God, heaven will be your home forever and forever and forever. This judgment isn't one that will determine whether, come on in, or sorry, we got to kick you out. You can't stay that long. But this should be one that determines rewards. Some will receive rewards. Others will suffer loss, but they'll still be saved. But it's one smelling like smoke who went through fire. Remember being in school, didn't you love it? The teacher walk in and say to you, close your books, take out a piece, a half sheet of paper, and get a pencil. And don't you love those words, pop quiz? I've always been of the theological persuasion that pop quizzes are always a work of the devil. Can somebody shout amen? If you ever were in a class and the teacher walked out and said to you, we're having a pop quiz, if your reaction was, thank you, Jesus, you, my friend, are a sick puppy. Somebody say amen right now. Nobody likes pop quizzes, and neither does God. That's why in the scripture, God's given us in advance everything that will be covered at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to run through these. If you're a note taker, give me your email. I'll send you the notes. I'm going to run through these. Greg, at the judgment seat of Christ, again, not to determine salvation. We're thinking about the cross. I received Jesus. You're saved. Heaven's your home. You're with the Lord forever and ever and ever. But at the judgment seat of Christ, things are going to be put out in the open. And again, there's going to be a test. Here's what will be covered. Mark 4, our secret acts will be revealed. Romans 2, our character will be revealed. Not what people think about us, our publicity, but our character. Matthew 12, our words will be revealed. Ephesians 6, our good deeds. Matthew 5, our attitude. 1 Corinthians 4, our real true motives. Colossians 3, our lack of love. 1 Corinthians 3, our work in a ministry. Listen, at the judgment of Christ, all these things are going to be laid bare before the throne of the Lord Jesus. With John 5:22, the Bible says the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son. It's at that judgment that rewards will be given. When there's wrong motives, they'll be burned up like straw and hay and stubble. But aren't you glad God is a God of rewards? I love 1 John 3:21. As your dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we can have confidence before God. The scripture teaches us the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled that you can pray. So for every believer, say, Greg, I'm here this morning at the judgment seat of Christ. I want to hear well done. What do I do? Let's surrender. Let's die to self. Let's give God everything in these last days. This isn't the hour to try to, how can I get by but still get to heaven? This isn't must it be about, it never has been, how close can I get to the world but still live for Jesus? Let's be dead to sin and the flesh and say, Jesus, I want to sell out. I want to live for you like I've never, never known before. I'm telling you, the day will come when the things that we hold so dear right now and give us so much of our time to, which may be in some sense, the day will come, they mean absolutely nothing. And the only thing that will matter is what we did for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, who we are, we laid out bare before the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything hidden, every secret will be revealed. And friends, the Bible teaches us there in Corinthians 3, when repented of, and Colossians says, they'll be forgiven, respect eternal judgment, but are still taken into account when being judged for repayment. Anyone who does good will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Concerning our good deeds, God is not unjust. He'll not forget your good work and the love you've shown him as you've helped his people and continue to help them. So the need for believers, the deal is this. This is the hour to live for Christ right now. If there's anything in our lives that holds us back from total surrender, let's lay it down and say, Jesus, I want to surrender to you, maybe at a level like I've never, never, never known before. If you're still listening, somebody shout yes. Come on. So what happens when Jesus comes? Number one, the trauma of translation. All over the world, Christians are going to disappear off the face of the earth in the twinkling of an eye. They'll be lined up for guests at the Exxon station. They'll be at Starbucks for their, don't you love Starbucks? Come on, somebody. The best cup of coffee you can buy for $49.95 a cup. You cannot beat it. You can't beat it. You'll be in that line for your chocolate venti mocha, whatever, or Dunkin' Donuts, whatever, and you're there, and you're at school, you're at the giant supermarket, you're getting the tickets for the at Camden Yards. The day's gonna come in the twinkling of an eye where Christians are going to disappear off the face of this earth. And there'll be masses of others who've missed the rapture. And I promise you, they'll stagger the streets of Baltimore. Some will wave an angry fist. Some will go on as if nothing happened. But I promise you, there'll be numbers of people, some that sat in this very building, that say, dear God, what have I done? I've missed the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This trauma of translation, some will go, some left behind. The trauma of testing as believers. One day they'll stand before Jesus. So the idea is this. Whatever we do, let's do it with all of our minds. Let's give Jesus our best. Can somebody say amen? The third thing of this, the trauma of testing will now flow into the trauma of tribulation. You need to hear this, man. Look, I love to encourage. I'm not looking to upset anybody. But if you miss the rapture, if you are left behind, this is all about you. Tribulation, we're talking 7 years of unprecedented persecution and the stress in the history of the entire world. We're not talking 7 years of a camp meeting. We're not talking, and I've heard folks say, well, Greg, relax. If I miss the rapture, I'll take care of it, the tribulation. Greg, there'll be some people that come to Christ during the tribulation. I believe that there will be. But if anybody thinks that the tribulation is going to be like this piece of cake pie and people all going to get to, you're kidding yourself. As lovely as Baltimore, as lovely as America is, I love the fields of Romania. I love the beauty of Zimbabwe, Africa. I do not want to be on the planet a second after Christ comes. Because what happens now, 7 years of tribulation. Daniel 9:27 says this. He'll confirm a covenant with many for 1:7. The middle of the seven, I'll put an end to sacrifice and offering. And a wing on the temple will set an abomination to cause desolation until the end that is decreed poured out of them. Imagine 7 years of the last 3.5. God pours out judgment upon this world. He does it quickly. The first 3.5, there's miracles and false miracles and all kind of deception. But in the middle of the 7 years, the Antichrist will break his covenant with Israel. And my friend, the temple will be destroyed and worship of God will then be forbidden. Listen to Revelation 13:16. You say, Greg, well, you're talking, this could begin this afternoon, church. Don't you let some devil lie to you and go, oh man, that guy, oh come on, old school. This isn't old school. This is Bible school this morning. This is the Bible. Revelation 13 says this. He also forced everyone, the Antichrist, small and great, rich and poor, their free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or forehead, that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast, the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has wisdom or insight, let him calculate the number of the beast. For it's a man's number. His number is 666. The time will come during the tribulation. My friend, worship of God will be forbidden. Those who come to Christ, those who will lose their lives and gain eternity, thank God for grace. And I've heard some say this. Greg, if I miss the rapture, I'll be all right. Listen, the pressure during the tribulation to receive the mark of the beast, it's going to be huge. That number 666 speaks of the unholy trinity of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. God's number isn't 666. God's number is 777. For God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But the pressure is going to be huge to take the mark of the beast. And can I say this? Bible says the day will come, you're not going to be able to buy or sell or trade. Look, you're not going to be going to Ross's Dress for Less. You're not going to be going to the mall. We're not going to be going to Dick's Sporting Goods. I love Dick's Sporting Goods. Someone say, thank God for that. I could vacation for a month at Dick's Sporting Goods. But you know what? No one's going to buy or sell. You're not going to buy that large thing. Listen, nobody does anything without the mark of the beast. And we think of technology. This week in the USA Today, it spoke of chips for everybody. Technology is already in place for this. It's already there. It's already happening. But the mark of the beast, you're not going to be able to buy a roll of Kleenex or toilet paper. You'll not buy some Arizona sweet tea. You'll not go to Cracker Barrel for Sunday dinner without the mark of the beast. Well, Greg, why? Because it teaches no one will buy yourself. But the problem is this. You take the mark, it's over for you. You take the mark, it's over. You take the mark, can I tell you? You sold your soul to the devil. Say, Greg, you know what? You're freaking me out. No, the devil wants to freak you out. I've come to lift up the name that's above every other name. I've come to point you to Jesus. Jesus is the one that can save and wash away your sins. But I'm telling you this. You take the mark, I don't care who you are or who you know or where you're from. You take the mark of the beast, join the choir, get baptized in every tank in Baltimore, you're still going to end up in hell forever and ever and ever. And that breaks the heart of God because he wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. God, we're not being flippant or just go to hell. We preach that with tears because God wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. And the pressure will be huge to buy the necessary things of life to live. And I'm telling you this. So Greg, well, isn't fair. Well, you know what? You don't have to be here for the tribulation. Give your life to Jesus Christ and get caught up on that day he comes back for his people. But the pressure is going to be huge. And there'll be people, and some who sat in our churches, who said, go ahead. Just give me the mark. And I'm telling you, whoever receives the mark, the Bible teaches us. It teaches us about the full wrath, strength of the cup of his wrath. He'll be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of his holy angels and of the Lamb. I am begging somebody in this room, not only to never take the mark of the beast, but do a step better. Man, live for Christ now. Not even have to deal with tribulation, but I am talking 7 years of immense pressure, persecution, worship of God forbidden. The mark of the beast will be in place. And I'm telling the pressure, this isn't going to be 7 years of a camp meeting. This isn't going to be, well, Greg, it's not all that bad. Yes, it is. It's maybe as intense as I'm coming across. My concern right now for me is I'm not being intense enough. Again, how do you overdo this? And honestly, how do you do it? You ever have a loved one and they're, you know, crack cocaine, or a loved one and you know they're going down the wrong path and you look and go, man, what are you doing? Don't do this. I am begging you. If you're not living for Jesus, nobody loves you like he does. The nails did not keep him on that cross. It was his love for you that kept him on that cross. But the day will come in Baltimore, Maryland, where some, my friend, will succumb under the pressure and all these things, and they'll take the mark. And the moment somebody receives the mark of the beast during the tribulation, all the persecution, all the torment, all the get up, worship of God forbidden, none of this like what we have today. And the mark is in place. And those who take the mark of the beast, I want to say it one more time. If you take the mark, it's over for you. Like it would be over for me. once you take the mark, there's no turning back. I am begging somebody on a gorgeous Sunday morning in August of 2017, don't play with your soul. Can somebody say a big amen? The trauma of translation, the trauma of testing, the judgment seat of Christ. You know what's amazing, Greg? This is very sobering, and it is. But God has a history of always warning his people before big events. He warned Noah before the flood, Abram before Sodom and Gomorrah. He warned Israel before the captivity. You look at the life of Jesus, often before the crucifixion, he take them aside and go, boys, they're going to destroy this temple, but in 3 days, God's going to raise it back up again. You see it over and over. Hebrews 12:15, make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy without holiness. No one will see the Lord. Matthew 24 says over and over, keep watch, be ready, keep watch, be ready, keep watch. This is the hour to make sure that we're ready. And I want to ask you this, if and again, as your friend, I'm not looking to upset you, but if you're not ready for Jesus right now, what makes you think you'll be on the day that he comes? Don't you believe the lie, well, you know what, we got tomorrow, whatever, maybe whatever. No, this is the day for salvation. Not one verse in the Bible where it says that tomorrow is always, today is the day for salvation. I can hear my wife whisper, normally Robin will be sitting right here, my wife, and I can almost hear her saying, use your towel and wipe your mouth right now. We were at a church recently, very recently, and Robin said, why didn't you look at me? Why didn't you look at me? I said, Robin, why? She said, because you had this white thing hanging off your mouth when you were preaching. She said, don't you remember at one moment of the message, everybody kind of went, ugh. I said, as a matter of fact, I do. I thought maybe like the anointing swept in. She said, you crazy man. She said, that's because that thing fell off your mouth. They were all relieved to finally left you. She said, the whole time you preach, you look like the demoniac in Gadarenes. Foaming at the mouth. She says, you bring the towel. Use the towel once in a while. So in honor of my wife and my mother-in-law, who's a wonderful woman, by the way. I apologize if I've grossed anybody out in this room. You're thinking, I want the Lord to come back. I don't even have to look at your face anymore. This is just grossing me out. Can you please finish the message? We're done in a moment, I promise. How many believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again? Whew. And you do not need to be here for the 7 years of hell that will break loose all over the face of this earth. Trauma of translation, trauma of testing, trauma of tribulation. But we progress and we're almost done. The fourth, we're almost finished, is the trauma of triumph. Finally, some good news. Somebody say, thank God for some good news. Greg, it's summer. You know, you've been kind of heavy today. I got some good news now. The trauma of triumph. And that, my friend, is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 19 talks about it. That his eyes are like a blazing fire on his head. Are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood. His name is the Word of God. Imagine this. There, my friend, the 7 years will all culminate in the Valley of Megiddo. I've been to the Valley of Megiddo a couple times and where the great battle will take place. And the Bible said the blood will be as high as the bridles and the horse's mouth. Imagine the multitudes as an army strong will march across. God will take the Euphrates River and make it a road. They'll march across in the Valley of Megiddo, the great battle of Armageddon. But that will be that time, my friend, that Jesus, no longer suffering Savior, he'll come back riding on a white horse. Come on, somebody. His garment dipped in blood. He has an inscription on his thigh that says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will ride the white horse. And we're going to ride with him. Say, Greg, I've never ridden on a flying horse. Neither have I. We're going to ride a flying horse. Imagine we're going to come back with Jesus. He'll have no guns, but out of his mouth will shoot the word, the sword will shoot out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will bring victory once and for all. Somebody shout amen. And he will usher in the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Is Pastor Brian or somebody come for the keys to play a pad for me this morning? Just some soft keys if we could have that. Are you with me this morning? Somebody say yes. Don't touch your car keys. If you touch your car keys, lightning will shoot out of heaven over your chair. So listen carefully. We're almost done. You hand your keys. I'm not driving. Pass your keys to somebody else. The trauma of triumph. When Jesus Christ comes back, victory in the valley of Megiddo. 1,000 years of peace on this earth. My friend, I know what the world says. Some still mock Jesus. Some still laugh at Jesus. Can I tell you, when he mounts the white horse to ride through the skies, my friend, demons tremble, demons weep. They know the one that rose up from the dead on the third day. He is the conquering, all-powerful, all-wonderful. That name is above every other name. Jesus Christ, and every tribe, every tongue, every nation, we're going to ride with him on that day, church. And he will bring victory. Whatever you've got, whatever you've got, whatever you've got, Brian, whatever, something that I have written, something that I have written. Are you still with me this morning? We're done with this. What will happen when Jesus comes? I mean, come on, what is going to, because it's not if, it's when he comes. All those prophecies, was it like 355 prophecies that spoke of him coming as a baby? Every one came true. He always fulfills his word. The one that came as a baby in a manger, he's coming back and every eye shall see him. He's got victory. His garments are dipped in blood. Aren't you glad? Remember the song I wrote years ago? There's power in the blood. Remember that song I wrote years ago? And the last thing is this, and we're going to be done. What happens when Jesus comes? There'll be translation, the judgment of Christ and tribulation and victory and Megiddo's second coming. But I got to end with this. The last trauma is the trauma of trial. You hear this and I'm done. When I say trauma of trial, I'm speaking of the great white throne judgment. Where Revelation teaches us, for time's sake, I'm going to read just a verse, then death and Hades were thrown in the lake of fire. The lake of fire is a second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Let me just wrap us up with this. Every lost person, everyone that's rejected Jesus, I don't care who, Greg, because I didn't grow up in the church, so I get this. Greg, preach, sweat, spit, do your deal. This means nothing to me. Yeah, it does. No, Greg, sweat, spit, do your deal. I don't buy any of it. That's on you. Because I love you and because God loves you like nobody else. I'm telling you, the day will come, you'll stand before God. Every person, McGregor, we're shakers and movers. We just let me see my outlook. I'll delete this. I'm going to put this. I'll plug this and I'll just my schedule, whatever. I promise you, nothing on your schedule will excuse you from attending the great white throne judgment. Every lost person, rich, poor, great, and small, they will be at the great white throne. And what's so horrific, before the trial begins, the verdict has already been issued and the verdict is guilty. God is not death in the light of the wicked. It breaks his heart, but every person at the great white throne will spend eternity in hell away from God. Say, Greg, be careful. Don't do too much with the hell thing because, oh my goodness, listen, hell is as real as the chair you're sitting in right now. And someone said, well, Greg, I thought God, a God of love. And God, no, he is a God. He's doing everything he can to keep you and I out of hell. Come on, God is a God. Don't say he isn't love. God is. He is love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Jesus is seeking and saving the lost. But everyone there at that judgment will stand before God. The books should be open. Everybody there is lost forever. And the question I had as a young believer was, well, what's the purpose of this? How could a loving God have this? Why is there going to be the great white throne if the earth is already guilt? Why not just why have this? Because it's based on God's love. The books are open. No one will say, God, you never did this. I never knew. The books should be open. It'll be, I came after you. I sought you. I remember I sent that person. Remember, I know he sweat and he spit, kind of obnoxious. But remember that one Sunday. Remember that one Sunday, whatever. You came, was a nice, you're going to the lake or the inner harbor, whatever. Remember, I came after you. And one by one, the books should be open, man. And people will see that they rejected the way of salvation. It isn't that God just kicks them in up, but they refuse to receive the gift that only Christ can give. And it's over. It's over. It's over. The trauma of the trial, the great white throne. I'm going to ask you to stand all over this room. I'm done in just a matter of seconds. Are you still with me? Someone give me a big amen if you're with me in this house. Come on. In a moment, Pastor John's going to come, but I need you to do me a favor. I need you to bow your head and close your eyes. Nobody ashamed, nobody embarrassed, nobody moving. I've dug a very narrow path, I know. I'm going to count to the number three. Every journey begins with one step. And I'm going to put it all into one big basket. I'm not asking first time or recommitment. God knows the details. You're either ready or you're not. We're either ready or we're not. Don't let your badge, don't let your name, don't let your title rob you of the touch of God in this room this morning. Well, I'm going to say three. I got one question, and it's this. If you're anywhere breathing in this room and say, Greg, you know what? I've come to church today, and I am not ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never received him as your Savior. Maybe you did years ago, but you're far from God. You know that you're lost. I'm going to count to three. You say, Greg, it's me. I know now why I'm here. I've been living my life, but man, with wrong focus. I'm begging you. The moment I say three, if you have, you say, Greg, I am not right with God. Greg, I am not ready. He's coming back for those watching and waiting for his soon return. We can't be living in sin but watching at the same time. So the moment I say three, Greg, today keep me in your prayers because I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I wish I could ask you this over a cup of coffee at a bagel shop. But I'm asking as your friend and your brother, are you ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you're not, the moment I say three, I want you to raise your hand as quickly as I say. And by raising your hand, you're saying, Greg, keep me in prayer. I'm lifting my hand in response to God's grace. I'm not ready, but I want to be ready through my faith in him. Whether for the first time, recommitment, God knows all about it. On the count of three, if you're not ready, I'm begging you to raise your hand up to God. On the count of three, one, two. Three, lift it up where I can see it. Oh, dear God. Just lift it up. Just lift it up. I'm going to ask you a favor. If you can't do this for physical sake, that's okay. But this is selfish on my part because I love you. And before you leave, I want to be able to, I want to ask not for some of you, but every one of you that just raised your hand up to give the devil a heart attack and leave your seat and come stand right in front of me right now. I want you to come quickly. If you raise your hand, just for a closing prayer, we're seconds away from ending. That's it. You're coming. If you raise your hand, I want you to come. There are hands all over this room. I'm not going to wait until I see everyone I saw raise the hand come. That's between you and the Lord, but if you raise your hand, I want you to give the devil a heart attack right now and come walk. Can we just give these folks a big old hand clap of praise right now in Thanksgiving? Can we give God a big old, would you give God a big old shout right where you are right now? Just come right on in, right on in, right on in. Anybody else? Anybody else? Here's what we're going to do. Time is a ticking. I'm going to close in prayer when I'm done. Pastor John will come. If he dismisses you at the altar, this altar worker, if you're an altar worker, well, what a help you'd be right now. Some of you I know are already here, but you can make your way up and talk with those at the altar. But pray this. Pray this out loud after me right now, would you? Let's all pray together. Lift a hand up to God. Would you pray this out loud? Would you? Dear Jesus, forgive all my sin. I surrender to you right now. Thank you for the cross, the price you paid, that you rose up from the dead. I surrender my life to you today. I give you more than my sin. I give you myself. Help me to follow after you now. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love and your mercy. I'll never be the same again. All because of your love. In your name I pray. Amen. Would you give God a big old hand clap right now? Would you just give God a shout right now? Reach your hand up here. Reach your hand up here. Now, Lord, as Pastor John comes, keep these here. Keep us. Keep us. Watch over us. I pray blessing all over this house. May we walk out today as the blood-washed body of Jesus Christ. May we live in such a way, God. May we live in such a way. May we live in such a way, God, that we're sold out, living for you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we say like John, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. As President John comes, can we give our coming Savior a standing ovation of praise right now? Come on.